Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hey, I'm Jim Richards, and today we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God in your heart. I mean, this is so phenomenal. You see, the heart is where God connects with us. Everything that's real happens in our heart, through our heart, with our heart, from our heart. So unless we're functioning from our heart, the truth is that it's just all external. It's all behavior. It's all just dead works. Well, here's the great thing. The kingdom of God is more about being able to connect with God in your heart than any other aspect. And so today we're going to be sharing this with you, and we're going to share how Jesus' teaching, as opposed to the epistles, actually is more about the heart rather than about information. And you're going to come to better understand everything else in the Bible because of how you're going to develop your heart through Jesus' teaching. Listen, this message and this entire series can be found at impactministries.com. If you can't get it all today, be sure and go to our website and check it out. Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to tell you, this series on the gospel of the kingdom is going to affect your capacity to connect with your heart in ways that you just cannot imagine. As you walk through what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, you're going to realize that the kingdom of God is essential for knowing how to walk with God in your heart. This new 6-CD series is going to open up your understanding for everything that the Bible has to teach you. This is really key for everything you want to know about God. Hello, welcome to today's program. We're talking about the kingdom and your heart. I am so excited about this. I'll never get all this material covered. Remember, the CDs all of these series always goes into much more detail, covers all kinds of things that we just don't have time to cover in the program. But today, we're going to dive into this thing and talk about how the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom of God, affects your heart, how it becomes really one of the most powerful ways to understand how to work with your heart, and so that everything else in the Bible becomes a heart truth rather than intellectual information. Now, we just got to review just a little bit, and we want to remind you that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven refers to the realm that you enter into. The other refers to the resources that are available to you in that realm. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is the unifying truth that makes all other truth come together and make sense. And I'm telling you, if you do not understand the gospel of the kingdom as Jesus taught it, then when you get into the epistles, the writings of Paul and Peter and John, I'm telling you, you will be what the apostle Paul called a seed picker. You'll just be picking up pieces here and there, and you won't understand how the dots connect. You won't understand how truth has to fit into a certain priority. The gospel of the kingdom is the unifying message of all other information that we have as new covenant believers. Also, and this is still review, you remember that we enter the kingdom based on our connection and our trust to Jesus as Lord. Because if there's a kingdom, there has to be a king. So, you know, just because you're a believer does not mean that you're functioning in the kingdom realm. It doesn't mean that you're experiencing the resources of the kingdom. It just means you're saved. And you say, well, what determines it? What determines whether or not you enter into the kingdom realm is whether or not you involve your heart and whether or not you function from the motives or the keys of the kingdom, if you will. So we function in the kingdom when we use the keys of the kingdom, which are revealed to us through Jesus' teaching, whenever he tells us guiding principles or laws of the kingdom, if you will. So if you abandon Jesus' teaching, you will never grasp kingdom living. You'll never get the concept of kingdom living really clearly if you try to get it from the writings of Paul, Peter, John, or any of the epistles. And then last of all, the kingdom is within it. This is something that goes on inside of us. That's what I want to talk a little bit about today. You know, the book of Luke Luke 17:20, it says one time Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God is going to come. And Jesus replied that the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Now, this is one of the most important concepts that you have to understand. You see, God is an eternal being. So there is no beginning and end to the kingdom of God. And in the realm of eternity, there is only now. So the concept of the kingdom coming at some time in the future is not even real. The kingdom of God exists, and we enter into the kingdom of God when we connect to God through our hearts, and based on, again, the keys of the kingdom that Jesus gave us in his teaching. So the kingdom exists. When you enter into your heart, I want you to understand something. That's when you enter into eternity. That's when you leave the dimensions of space and time and linear concepts of cause and effect. And that's when you start connecting to God in ways that exceed or get beyond information. As a matter of fact, here's one of the most interesting things I've discovered. When you know how to get in your heart, I call it the heart zone. The Bible calls it the heart. When you know how to get into your heart zone, you start realizing that when God speaks to you and you hear it and experience it from your heart, that the information and the experience and the empowerment all comes at one time. You see, our tendency is to try to relate to God intellectually, where we just get information in our head, we try to think on it, try to formulate it, try to turn it into linear concepts of cause and effect, do this, don't do that, and we think that somehow we'll eventually have enough faith to get the power for it. Well, that's, you know, whenever you believe the truth about Jesus and the truth about who you are in Jesus, then when you connect to God in your heart, everything that he speaks to you comes with the power to fulfill it. Actually, you know, the word righteousness means as it should be. So every time in your heart God speaks to you about how you should be, whether it's healed, whether it's prospered, whether it's blessed, whether it's a more godly life, it doesn't really matter. It always comes with the power to live that in your life. Now, everything about the kingdom of God is experienced through the heart, not the intellect, and it's so important that you realize that. Now, here's the tragedy of it, though. People who do not develop their heart connection with God will only experience kingdom living to a very, very limited degree. They will have brief intellectual encounters, or they'll have intellectual encounters with God, and they'll have brief heart encounters, have brief glimpses or brief inspirations that they can't hold on to because they don't know how to develop them. They don't know how to bring them to fruition in their life. And so, you know, the reason we're teaching all of this stuff to you is because we want you to have the keys of the kingdom. We want you to know how to function in this kingdom. We don't want to just give you knowledge and talking points and doctrine to argue with other people. We want you to experience truth and power, because the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. So if you're just experiencing the information and not the power to live it, then you're not really experiencing grace, because grace is always the power to live the information. And so you don't want to just be an information monger, because information puffs up. Information feeds the ego, whereas belief of the heart feeds and strengthens the identity. Now, I mentioned this in one of my previous broadcasts on this subject, how that I was sitting in a meeting one time, and somebody that I deeply, deeply respected, deeply valued, started talking about how that we as believers needed to read the epistles. And man, I was writing it down. I was thinking, man, no wonder he knows so many things. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you only live in the epistles, you will lose touch with reality. Because you see, the parables of the kingdom tend to influence our heart, whereas the teachings of the epistles tend to influence our knowledge, our intellectual mind. Now, that won't happen if we're connected to the kingdom, if we're connected to Jesus through the kingdom principles, through our heart and through what he taught us. Now, the teaching of Jesus provides us with the basis of interpreting everything that was written by the apostles. So if we jump out here and abandon what Jesus has taught us and shown us by his life, I'll tell you, you'll always end up twisting what the epistles say. You see, the key to understanding truth is revealed in the parable of the sower and the seed. In that particular parable, Jesus, his disciples came to him and they said, "Why do you speak in parables?" By the way, that's Matthew 13:10. And he answered and said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom," the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. "But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And then Jesus went on to say, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. So here's what we want to understand from this passage of Scripture. And if you just stopped right there and didn't read the rest of this, you'd really kind of get messed up on all of this. The first thing that you learn from this is that Jesus spoke in parables because he wants us to know and to experience the kingdom. He wants us to have a heart experience. And that's really, really important. You see, one of the things you start realizing about Jesus' teaching, as opposed to Paul and Peter and John, Jesus' teaching was more conceptual. Their teaching is more intellectual. Now, that doesn't make it wrong, because we're supposed to renew our minds. But renewing your minds without knowing how to bring this to life in your heart just feeds the ego. It just gives you information, but it doesn't transform your life. So Jesus said the reason for speaking in parables is because it is given to us, not because he's trying to hide something, because it is given to us. You say, well, what about that scripture where he talks about it's not given to them? Well, see, he goes on to explain that if you read it in context, and he says they have hardened their heart, they have closed their eyes, and he says, and the reason they have is because they don't want to change. In other words, people who are not willing to repent. I'm not talking about groveling. I'm not talking about falling down with shame. I'm not talking about crying at an altar. I'm talking about people who are not pliable. People who do not have a relationship with Jesus as Lord, where he is the teacher and the master, and we surrender all of our opinions to him. A person like that cannot grasp the truth from a heart perspective. A person like that is looking for intellectual information to validate their position, and they create doctrines around their opinions. And Jesus said, I can only influence people who are ready and willing to change, to repent. That's what it means, to change your mind. So what do we learn from this? Well, we learn that the parables are where you understand the mysteries of the kingdom. See, if we believe, if we're pliable, if we're willing to give up our opinions, if we're really surrendered to Jesus as Lord, then as we read the Word of God, this is where we see and perceive and hear and understand, and it's all based on our openness and our willingness to change. We should live in a continual attitude of repentance. Now, I know that there's people saying you shouldn't repent, that this is not for believers. I'm sure that they're just overreacting to legalistic teaching about repentance from the past. But the real truth, our entire journey with Jesus, from the day we get born again until we meet him and are fully transformed, it is a process of growth and development that comes through the renewing of our mind. And the renewing of our mind is where we surrender our opinions, our point of view, to his opinions and his point of view. We exchange our reality, our perception, with his reality. Therefore, we experience his reality. So you see, we don't understand Jesus' teaching because we don't have a heart for it, and we're not willing to engage our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to instruct us and to empower us. You see, then Jesus went on and he explained how to engage our heart. And the book of Mark, you know, goes into this, expresses this to a clearer aspect than Matthew does. But basically, Jesus tells us that we got to understand the parables to understand the kingdom. And he also tells us about the parable of the sower and the seed, that we will not understand any of the parables if we do not understand this one particular parable. And so after he teaches about the sower and the seed, which is all about whether or not the word ever gets into our heart and is ever cultivated into our heart. That's it. That's what that parable is about. And so it gets down to this where he says, basically he says, take heed or get serious or pay attention to what you hear. For with the measure you meet, it is measured unto you. In other words, what you put into it is what you get out of it. Or as the Amplified Bible says, the degree of thought and study. So, you know, the degree of thought, study, contemplation, meditation, consideration that you give to what you hear, that and that alone determines the life that you get back. You see, we're living in the 21st century. We're Gentiles by nature. We want information. And we want to get new information on Sunday morning. We want to get new information on Sunday night. We want to get new information on Wednesday night. We want to get new information constantly, but the problem is we are not putting anything into that. We're not meditating and contemplating how this should be applied to our life, what this our life would look like if this was true, what we would look like living this out. We're not contemplating our relationship with Jesus and how our opinions and views are in contradiction to his teachings. We're not going through the process of surrendering ourselves to his lordship because we're not really contemplating the information. We're not meditating on it. We're not cultivating it in our heart. You see, the parables are for influencing the heart, the conceptual teaching of Jesus. You say, well, what were the epistles written for? Well, for the most part, they were letters of correction and instruction. Now, I find this really, really interesting considering how dogmatic many people are in the epistles. You know, all of the apostles preached from the Old Testament. The Old Testament has not lost its relevance. The Old Testament has not gone away. Jesus didn't do away with it. People who say that, they are well-intentioned, and they're trying to get you free from legalism, but they do not understand that just because something is written in the Old Testament, that doesn't mean that it's legalistic. It can be applied. Everything can be applied legalistically. Grace can be applied legalistically. Mercy can be applied legalistically. Love can be. Everything can be turned into legalism. So I want you to understand something, that the apostles, these letters of instruction that they wrote to all the churches, they wrote, number one, in response to erroneous doctrines and teachings that were occurring in the early church. You have to realize, particularly with the Apostle Paul, he was ministering to the Gentile church. Well, the Gentile church had no knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, which was the basis of all of Paul's teaching. So they were prone to interpret what they heard about Jesus based on their pagan cult philosophies. So they just brought their pagan concepts into Christianity and interpreted the things that Jesus did based on their pagan concepts. So without the life and the teaching of Jesus as a blueprint, and without the Old Testament showing us God's values and God's standards and God's morals, then the real truth is we can twist the epistles to say almost anything that we want them to say. Now, you got to remember this. The primary law of the kingdom of God is love. Now, again, we have this tendency to say, all right, then, so I don't need anything from the law. The law is no benefit to me because I'm just going to walk in love. Well, when people say that they're opposed to the law or they're free from the law, they don't understand that they are ignorantly opposing the love walk. Because here's the question I want to ask you. Do you believe you should walk in love? It's just a real simple question. Do you believe that's what you should do? Yes or no? Okay. Then the next question is, if you believe you should walk in love, where will you get your definition of love? Where will you find what love should look like? Now, see, this is where we start with a scriptural reality. I know I should walk in love. Then we jump straight into lawlessness, straight into rejecting all of the teachings of the Bible and all the teachings of Jesus, and say, I'm going to come up with my own philosophical concepts of what it means to love. Well, you know what? That's called humanism. That's called being a God unto yourself. That's called rejecting the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's really just a religion. And see, the thing is, we think that legalism is the only destruction that there is. Let me tell you something. Any philosophical concept that is not based in the Word of God, based on what God said His morals, values, and ethics were, I got news for you, it is destructive even if it's nice. As a matter of fact, sometimes some of these concepts of walking in love are even more destructive because they make you feel good about the lies that you believe. They make you feel good about being a humanist. They make you feel good about being a progressive. They make you feel good about being a new ager or whatever it is, wherever it is that you're getting your concepts. You see, and I've said this in my last three series, I've said this in various ways for the last 30 years, but I'm gonna say this again because it always bears repeating. I want you to understand Jesus' relationship to the law. First of all, everything that we know about Jesus was prophesied in the law. So if we don't understand the Old Testament and what it said about Jesus and what he was going to do, then we are left with just philosophy. We're left with our own egotistical concepts. And remember, Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law and the prophets. And this is in Matthew chapter 5. And then he says, anyone who tells you to break these commandments or is least in the kingdom of heaven, least in this realm of experiencing the resources that are available to all of you. But he says that all the law will be fulfilled. So, okay, did Jesus fulfill the law? Well, I don't know. That's just according to what you mean by the word fulfill. If you just translate that any way you want to, then you can make that say anything. The word fulfill does not mean to do away with. It does not mean to complete it and it's no longer of value. It means to bring it to its goal, to bring it to its intention. So I want to run this down real quick. Like, all the ritual ceremonies and sacrifices were types and shadows of what we would be, of what Jesus would do in his life, death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus is the perfect expression of all the ritual ceremonies and sacrifices. Now see, this is why we need to read and understand the Old Testament, not so we go back to the sacrifices, but so we can have greater insight into what Jesus did for us. Secondly, according to Galatians 3:13, because Jesus became our sin and suffered the consequences of our sin, then he delivered us from all the curses of the law. Through the law of double jeopardy, none of our sins can be paid for twice. Jesus paid for them. He became the curse of the law. Secondly, in the resurrection, Jesus received the promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us all the promises are yes and amen. Why? Because we're in Jesus. Then we understand that because Jesus became our sin, he then had to obtain righteousness by his faith. And so Jesus obtained righteousness at the resurrection by his faith. And because we are in him, we share in that righteousness so we don't have to earn it. And then because we are in him, we are joint heirs with him. So he received the inheritance and we share it because he's in him. So see, these are the in him realities. Now, all that's left of the law is how to love people, love God, and love ourselves. And Jesus cannot fulfill that part for us. Now, love brings the fulfillment of the law. Why? Because it's the law that told me how to treat people. It's the law that told me how to treat my wife, how to treat my kids, how to treat my neighbor, how to pay my bills, how to do all these things. Now, if you're doing any of those things because you're trying to earn something from God, then you're a legalist and you will not connect to God in your heart. You will connect to your self-righteousness in your heart. But if you're seeking to love people and you are using this as your standard and your definition of how to love people, how to love God, and how to love and treat yourself, then I got news for you. You now have the first and most important key to the kingdom, because love is the primary key that opens the door. You know, the first door is open through the Lordship of Jesus. The next door is open through the love of God. And when you open the door through the love of God, you're not just saying, I'm going to be nice, I'm going to be sweet, and I'm going to be a humanist. You're saying, I'm going to love people the way God's word says to love people. Listen, come back and join me for my mentoring moment. I've got some really important things to share with you. You know, Jesus said that our mission here on planet Earth as ministers was to make disciples unto the Lord Jesus, not unto ourselves, but teach people how to follow Jesus, to teach people what he taught and how to incorporate that into our life. And that is the primary goal of Impact Ministries. And so we have great programs that will help you. I want to tell you about a program that's free. It's called Living Under Lordship. If you go to impactministries.com and click on the self-development tab, you can go down and you'll find Living Under Lordship. This is about a one-year mentoring program that will help you go from a new believer or an unstable believer to a strong, stable believer filled full of faith and be able to live your destiny. It's free of charge. And I tell you, I have used this to disciple people for years and years and years. And this will take you on a journey where I'm telling you, you will be stable in the Lord Jesus. Your faith will work and you'll be amazed at how your life is transformed. I can remember as a new believer reading about the keys to the kingdom, and I understood then that the keys to the kingdom was having the understanding how to open the doors to all of the resources of the kingdom of God. Well, people have made that legalistic. They've made it negative. They've made it dead works. But I want to tell you something. Jesus' teaching gives you the keys of the kingdom. In this 6-CD series on the gospel of the kingdom, you are going to discover how to walk through all the doors that Jesus has opened and enjoy all of the kingdom resources. Yeah, I want to welcome you to this mentoring moment. There's a decision that you need to make as we move through this series, as you move through your life, and it's a really, really important decision. That's this: will I learn to connect with God from my heart? Now, this is something no one can teach you how to do. You know, we can all give you some pointers. We can tell you what we do. But at the end of the day, this is going to be a personal journey that you are going to have to make. And it's going to have to be something that you walk through for yourself. But here's one of the primary keys to living out of your heart. And that is living in a state of peace and realizing that when you're stressed, when you're pushing, you know, when you're uptight, that the truth is you actually block the voice of God in your heart from being able to come into your mind. So peace is one of the most important factors. That's why the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we abide in peace, this is where we start allowing the intuitive knowledge, the intuitive direction of God to emerge from our heart. And then all we have to do is pay attention to it. Don't let it slip away from us. One of the nine Greek words for sin is to hear amiss. That's where we hear something and we let it escape from us. Second thing that we don't want to do is when we hear something intuitively, we don't want to start controlling and defining what that means. You see, you know, you can hear the voice of God saying, I want you to live your dream. And then you just immediately start saying, oh, okay, this is what this is going to look like. This is how I'm going to do it. This is what needs to happen. So this is what you need to do for me. And we try to take control of the process. We have to allow inspiration to emerge. And then we just have to listen and consider the end. What would my life look like if this inspiration were true? If this healing, if I was walking in this healing today, if I had all my bills paid today, if my wife and I were happy, if I was in a great relationship. But we don't have to worry so much about figuring out how we're going to get there, because that's usually where we stop following the Lord and start following our own intellect, our own will. Because once we are committed to the goal and trust the Lord Jesus, he will daily lead us on the process.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.